From the KTO newsroom, I'm Jamie Deep here with local news. Community members can provide feedback on the city's budget as well as on potential cuts and reductions tonight during a special assembly meeting at 5:30 p.m. in the assembly chambers at City Hall. The public can comment on items including the city's operating budget for the next fiscal year, the property tax mill levy rate, and an Eagle Crest budget reserve resolution. Community members can testify in person at assembly chambers. Immediately following the special meeting is the Assembly Finance Committee. And Juno student Cassie Lumba advanced to the national finals of Poetry Out Loud after competing in the semifinals in Washington, D.C. yesterday. Lumba is a senior at Juno Douglas High School, Yara'at Kahle, and won Alaska's Poetry Out Loud competition in March. 54 students from U.S. states and territories recited poetry during the semifinals yesterday. Only 9 were selected to advance to the finals, including Lumba. She performed 3 poems, including Longings by Nellie Rathbone, Bright, and O Me, O Life by Walt Whitman. Here's a snippet of Lumba delivering poetry by Marianne Moore.
I, too, dislike it. There are things that are important beyond all this fiddle. Reading it, however, with a perfect contempt for it, one discovers that there is in it, after all, a place for the genuine.
The national finals of Poetry Out Loud started in D.C. at 3 p.m. Alaska time today and culminates with the announcement of the 2026 Poetry Out Loud National Champion. Top prize is $20,000. 2 groups of Juno residents filed proposed citizen propositions this week in hopes of putting questions on the 2026 local election ballot. Both proposed questions are aimed at undoing some of the consequences of ballot measures that voters approved last election. KTOO's Clarice Larson has more.
Hi, we'd like to turn in an affidavit for this news.
Come on in.
Pat Race and 4 other residents walk into the city and borough of Juno's clerk's office with a handful of paperwork late Tuesday morning. City clerk Brecken Hendricks stamps each page. The group is there to drop off a proposed ballot proposition that seeks to reverse a decision voters approved during last fall's local election.
Last year, we decided to change it from the cap from 12 mills to 9 mills, and what this does is it just simply flips that back.
Last election, voters approved a ballot measure that placed a cap on the city's property tax rate, also known as the mill rate. Voters also passed another proposition that exempts essential food and residential utilities from local sales tax. An advocacy group called the Affordable Juno Coalition brought forth both propositions. The goal was to make Juno more affordable by reducing the tax burden on residents. But reducing those taxes means the city is taking in $10 to $12 million less in revenue annually. Race says that's a problem.
You know, when we start cutting so deep that we're losing the icing on the cake, I think that it's important to realize that we've overstepped and to step it back a little bit.
Last week, the Assembly began contemplating a list of more than 40 city services that could be on the chopping block, including some recreational facilities, slashing local grants, and more.
I think the list of potential cuts has been really sobering for people, and I don't envy the Assembly members for having to make some of the decisions that they're facing.
That's Alita Buss, one of the 5 people who signed on to support the reversal proposition. She and other members of the group say losing those services would erode what makes Juno an attractive place to live. That's why they created the proposed ballot proposition that would reverse the mill rate cap and restore some of the long-term revenue loss the city is now facing, along with potential service cuts.
We do value these things and want, you know, to take little ones to the field house and play soccer there, or, you know, the city museum's on the chopping block. There's all kinds of stuff that just is concerning.
And they're not the only people in town who want to undo what transpired in the last election. Michael Cole is one of 5 residents who are proposing a different ballot measure. It seeks to implement a 1% seasonal sales tax in Juno during the summer tourism months. Right now, the city taxes residents at 5%.
With all the proposed cuts to recreation here in Juno, it very quickly became apparent that we needed that to, you know, be minimal.
Cole says the group of signers is made up of parents concerned with how the potential service cuts could impact their kids' well-being, especially the proposed closure of recreational facilities like pools and the Diamond Park Fieldhouse. He says the 1% seasonal sales tax is aimed at financially supporting the city's recreational facilities. Last year, voters shot down a ballot proposition that also sought to implement a seasonal sales tax system in Juneau, but at a much more dramatic level than that 1% bump Cole and the other signers are proposing. He says that's the point.
Yeah, it seems like it's something that was going to be affordable and yet also would bring in some good revenue. And most of that revenue, the bigger chunk of it, would come from the cruise industry.
Angela Rodell, a member of the Affordable Juneau Coalition, calls the two proposed propositions premature and reactionary to the proposed cuts, which are still up in the air. And she says she's skeptical that the groups will be able to gather enough signatures to get it on the ballot.
This is what happens when you stir up people and go after the most popular things right away.
Both proposed ballot propositions still need to undergo a legal review by the city attorney and be certified by the city clerk. If the proposals are certified, each group has 30 days to collect just under 2,600 signatures of support for the propositions to appear in Juneau's municipal election on October 6th. In Juneau, I'm Clarice Larson.
The U.S. Forest Service has released a draft environmental impact statement for a timber sale on Prince of Wales Island. It would be one of the biggest old-growth logging projects Southeast Alaska has seen in years. It's called the Twin Mountain 2 Project. It's expected to provide over 28 million board feet of timber from over 1,500 acres. The plan also includes temporary road construction and fixing up existing roads to better access the timber. The project comprises two separate areas, the Red Bay area on the north end of the island and the Stainy area west of Thorne Bay. Paul Robbins is the public information officer for the Tongass. He says the Twin Mountain 2 project combines two previous plans, the Twin Mountain timber sale and the Stainy Cone helicopter timber sale. Robbins says that by combining two sales, the economics of the helicopter project are significantly improved. Environmentalists blocked the Twin Mountain sale in 2019 before the feds revived it a year later under the Trump administration. Under the Obama and Biden administrations, the Forest Service followed plans that focus on harvesting young growth and moving away from old growth logging. Last year, President Trump signed an executive order to increase timber production. Prince of Wales Island is home to one of the last sawmills in the state, and it's one of the biggest employers on the island. The Forest Service estimates the timber sale will support over 100 jobs, but tribal groups on the island have already pushed back on the sale, saying it will threaten rights to healthy salmon runs and clean water. State law requires the Forest Service to hold a subsistence hearing, which is expected to be announced in the coming weeks. The public comment period went live last Friday and will continue until June 8th. Feedback will be used for the final environmental impact statement, which is expected in July. And Mount Edgecombe High School is cutting staff for the second year in a row amid ongoing budget and enrollment issues. While last year's position cuts were mostly refilled at the end of the summer, administrators say they'll only rehire for the cut positions this year if more students enroll. KCAW's Hope McKenney reports.
The state-run boarding school in Sitka serves students from across the state, the majority of whom are Alaska Native from rural communities without local high schools. News of deteriorating facilities and an exodus of roughly a quarter of its students over the past year prompted state legislators to visit the campus in February and hold hearings to question school leadership. In an alumni advisory board meeting on April 23rd, school superintendent David Langford, who was hired last summer, said that new student applications have slowed to a trickle.
Right now, we're at 37% below where we are normally at this time for new applications coming in. So, yeah, that's lower than what it has been before, and that's what's driving us to look at alternative budget projections.
In response to dwindling enrollment, Langford said the school has cut several positions, and he's not sure how many they'll be able to refill. Langford said as of now, six teachers won't be returning. Two are retiring, one is moving, and three non-tenured teachers were given the option to either resign or be, quote, non-retained, which means they're not being offered a contract for next year.
It's important to note that nobody's getting fired. That's a whole different category, which means really we don't want you to ever teach anywhere again, basically. In that category, and we're not doing that to anybody.
In an interview with KCAW, Langford said if enrollment exceeds their projections, they may look at hiring all six positions back.
We live off of the enrollment, and that's how we get funding. So if we don't have students coming in, we can't fund teachers.
Matt Hunter, president of the union representing teachers, said a non-retention can happen for any non-tenured teacher for any reason. He said the cuts that happened last spring and the upcoming cuts for next school year are strictly budgetary.
This year's reductions came from some budget issues that we ran into last year. We had some overspending and we were relying on COVID funds that had expired and weren't there any longer. And that's why we had such big cuts between last year and this year. And looking forward, in order to budget wisely, you have to look at how many applications you have and how many kids you're likely to have, or you'll promise a job to someone and then find out in August you can't afford it, which would be terrible.
Hunter said when families hear bad news about the school, enrollment goes down. But recent news coverage of Mount Edgecombe's challenges only tells part of the story.
We have students who are some of the most genuine, kind people I've ever met, and we have good stuff happening in our classrooms. We offer some really neat classes. I think it's going to be a good school next year. We're still going to have good teachers. We're going to have wonderful students. We just need people to come.
Langford said the biggest priority moving forward is rebuilding enrollment by showcasing how special Mount Edgecombe is.
Yes, we might have fewer students next year than normal, and that would be a rebuilding year to build back culture and pride and, you know, all the kinds of things that maybe we're lacking this year.
Mount Edgecombe lets out on May 8th for the summer break and reconvenes in late August. Langford said despite current enrollment numbers, he's optimistic about the year to come. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Hope McKenney.
And over at the Juneau International Airport, it's currently 47 degrees with light rain and a breeze. This is KTOO.